Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Mark King.
I'm Joseph Walter.
And you guys are listening to the 3&D podcast. We got a great show for you guys. It's been a week since we've been on the pod, but we're back. I took some vacation days. That's okay though, because we're allowed to do that here, I think. I'm not sure.
I mean, maybe. I guess I kind of wanted a pod, but you were just gone.
But either way, we got a great show. We're going to talk NBA news. We're going to talk Dwayne Wade going to the Cavs. We're going to talk Melo getting traded to the Thunder, what that kind of means, along with a little bit more Paul George talking with the Thunder as well. We're going to talk a lot of Grizzlies stuff. We're going to talk first preseason game last night for the Grizzlies against the Magic. We have Jermichael Green signing. We have media day. So we got a lot of stuff to get to since we've been out of the loop for a week. So we have an extra dose of a pod today. So a lot of stuff to get to. But first and foremost, let's start with, like we always do, let's start with NBA news. And let's start with Dwayne Wade. Let's start with talking about how this impacts not only the Cavs, but how it impacts the finals. As we know, it will probably be the LeBron-led Cavs and the Warriors into the finals. Although the Thunder, I think now may have given them a run for their money. So let's first of all, let's just talk about Dwayne Wade. What do you think, Joe, if anything, it does for the Cavs? Finals hopes, I guess. Let's just assume they're going to play the Warriors. So what do you think it does for them?
It definitely it's somebody that can go get a bucket. You can give Dwayne Wade the basketball, and he can get you a bucket in big times. I think it's big for Cleveland, to be completely honest with you. As you know, I'm a LeBron hater. I think he's the best, you know, basketball player I've ever, you know, I was so young when Michael Jordan was around that LeBron is the best basketball player I've ever seen in my life. But when it comes down to it, it was Kyrie that got the job done a few years ago. It was Dwayne Wade that got the job done in Miami in those really heated finals that we've got to have at moments. So I think if Dwayne Wade can stay healthy, I'm kind of curious as to how they use him and how much he plays during the regular season and how much he sits and his minutes and things like that. But I think that this is really, really big because it's somebody else that you – I mean, there's only – Steph Curry isn't an amazing defender. So, you know, they're going to have to guard. And Isaiah Thomas – I guess Steph is going to have to guard Isaiah because, you know, Durant usually – you know, Durant and Draymond kind of share that load on LeBron. And so, you know, then now they've got Isaiah Thomas. You know, Klay Thompson usually takes the, you know, that scoring guard. So now they have two. So I think it's very big for them. What about you, man?
I do. I don't think we can sit here and say it's not good for them. I mean, it's Dwayne Wade. It's another, like I said, it's another guy who can go get you a bucket. And I mean, we talked about this earlier before we started. I mean, he's only making $2.3 million, but who cares? Because the Bulls owe him, what, $18 million still? I think he was making $24 million, and his buyout was, like, less $8 million. So you're talking a guy who's still making $18 million for this season. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what he's making.
Want to know what I think is really funny? Did you see when they asked him earlier this summer why he opted into this contract?
No, but I mean, I can only imagine. Just you got to get paid.
You know how many reasons he gave?
24?
24 million of them. They asked him why he opted in, and he said 24 million reasons.
I mean, it's just that's a smart business decision, but I don't think we can all sit here and pretend like it doesn't help the Cavs in any shape or form, because now, like you said, we all know LeBron and Dwayne are good buddies, and it gives you another person to go out and get buckets. And Dwayne Wade, it was a good defender. I don't know about much now, but I think he's still a very capable player. So it remains to be seen what they're going to do with the Warriors when they get there. But I think it's just one more piece to the puzzle for LeBron and for the Cavs to have someone who can make big shots. And Dwayne Wade is accustomed to that. He's a superstar in the league. This is, for him, I think, was a no-brainer. I know I saw some people talking about if Fizdale would give Dwayne Wade a call, but that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. We actually discussed this
episode
two or three. Like, it would be great, but that's never going to happen. That is not reality that we live in. It would have been awesome, but it's just not reality. So I think this for Dwayne is easily the best possible situation he could be in. I mean, he wants to win championships. He wants to win rings. He doesn't. I mean, I wouldn't say he doesn't care about money because he does. But if you're already getting paid by the Bulls, at that point, money really doesn't matter because you're still getting paid by another team. So I don't know if this changes, like I said, the finals outcome. I'm not sure, and that remains to be seen. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this year. Let's move on to the Melo trade. So this happened last weekend, I guess, right? Last weekend before training camp. Again, I was out of town last weekend. I had to go to Disney World with my family.
Make it sound miserable.
I did not have a choice to take 7 days off of work, but my wife made me. But nonetheless, so Melo gets traded to the Thunder for Enes Kanter and Doug McDermott. Is that correct? I know those are players, but I don't know if there's a pick involved there. I think there might be a pick.
Yeah, Enes Kanter, Doug McDermott, and a second round pick.
So basically, pennies on the dollar.
Pennies.
So you have basically what this is how this happened. All right. So Melo doesn't want to be in New York anymore. He also doesn't want to miss training camp. So he says, I want you to trade me on Friday. And they say, okay, well, give us some – because he has a no-trade clause. So give us some possible destinations. He gives them a few. Well, they call those players – they call those teams. Those teams don't want to give that much for Melo. And then he says, I want to be traded right now before training camp. And guess what? They have to sell him for basically pennies on the dollar. And that's what they did. I mean, I don't know – I wouldn't put it past the Knicks just to take something crappy because they're a crappy front office. But that's what you get. So the Thunder have now gone out and gotten – and Sam Presti with the Thunder has now gone out and gotten Paul George for basically nothing. And Carmelo Anthony, two legitimate superstars in this league for basically nothing. Two, I think, we'd both agree, top 20 players in the league easily. So how does this change the Thunder, Russell Westbrook's team?
When I saw this, the first thing that came to my head was which one of them is going to be the first to bitch about having to play the four, whether it was going to be Paul George or Carmelo. I believe your answer was Carmelo.
Absolutely.
Neither one of them like to play the four, and we can look back in the past and show it. They've both bitched about it in the past. Yep. So I'm very curious to see what's going to happen there. I cannot wait for the first Russell Westbrook Carmelo Anthony feud on the bench. I'm really excited about it.
You think that's going to happen?
I do. Russell Westbrook is a ball dominator, and he's really good at it. He wins a lot more games as a ball dominator than Carmelo does as a ball dominator.
I think that's very fair. Just look at – I mean, you can look at last season with the Russell and the Thunder. I mean, he had a trash team and still won games.
And do you think Carmelo's just not going to get – all of a sudden just not get his shots up and not have the ball?
Yeah, I mean –
What about Paul George? He's the one literally – screaming at somebody at the end of the game last year at the playoffs against Cleveland. I forget who he's screaming at to give him the ball. And he's like made one game-winning shot in his career or something. So I'm ready to see who – I think that Russell Westbrook is the alpha on that team, but I'm ready to see the other two not play as the alpha on their team, because I think that there's no way they are. Russell Westbrook is a dominating personality and player for that matter. So I'm very excited to see what kind of comes of these. I mean, they're playing a point guard right now, three small forwards, and a center, basically, as their starting lineup, if I had to guess. Roberson, who's a small forward.
Right.
And Carmelo, who's a small forward. Paul George, who's a small forward. And Steven Adams. So I think it's a cool combination of players. I don't necessarily, as everybody keeps joking about James Harden and Chris Paul, there's only one ball. This is three of them, and there's only one ball.
Yeah, I think that I don't think I necessarily think that Paul George is that much of a problem as like you said Carmelo is. I think Carmelo is a huge factor, and so is Russ. I think like you mentioned Russ, and if we see any of them get into, I would think we would see Russ and Melo get into it first. But I think you would just see, I guess Robeson go to. I personally think you would probably see Melo at the four and Paul George at the three, like, as listed as the starting lineups. But I don't think it. I don't think it really matters once you get out there. I think it's probably this the league and the game is such a fluid offense these days that it doesn't really matter. Positions that were, you know, 10 or 15 years ago were positions are really now, it's, you know, you have tweeners and you have these small ball fours, and it's such a different game and it's so fast now. I'm not sure if it's going to matter.
It's a matchup nightmare.
Absolutely. It really is.
Matchup nightmare. I mean,
I hate that the Grizzlies have to play them this many times this season now.
It reminds me just of the matchup a lot like the Bucks, where, you know, they have, I mean, they don't have a 7-foot Giannis, but, you know, they have Giannis, they have Chris Middleton, they have Jabari Parker, who are all threes.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
So I think they are a matchup nightmare. Watch them play. Every team just struggles to match up.
Yep.
And that's why Jabari was so awesome at the beginning last year before he got hurt. Because he always had somebody smaller on him, and he had just amazing moves to the bucket.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Bucks are – this is obviously a side note, but the Bucks are huge – are one of my league pass teams for – were last year, and I think they're going to be going into this year. And I think you're going to have to add the Thunder to it too. I mean – It is a matchup nightmare, especially for the team like the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies have gone to the pace and space mantra. They have moved away from the grit and grind. We are now coining it still, pace and space. Grizzlies marketing, you are welcome. If you want to use that, feel free.
But stop using grit grind.
Please. Let's not call it what it is anymore. So, you know, like I said, it remains to be seen what the Thunder are going to do. I'm excited about seeing what they're going to do. Not as a fan of the Thunder, but just as a fan of the NBA, how they're going to make this work. So we'll see. But let's move on. Last piece of NBA news, and this kind of goes, I think, probably sports-wide, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but I think we do have to address it, and we do have to talk about it for a minute. And that's the you have a lot of players in the NFL that have been taking a knee during the national anthem. It's been a huge debate on social media and in every TV station. This is now not a news story. I mean, a sports story. This is a news story. And so I think we all know the story right now. I'm not going to go through it or how it has kind of exploded over the past 2 weeks. But now in a position where we're seeing last year I don't think this happened at all. But now we're in a position where players are actually talking about this now in NBA players, if they will actually physically take a knee during the national anthem in NBA games. And there was a lot of talk about this. For me personally, I am for whatever you want to do, however you want to protest, I am for that. That's what I think makes this country so great and the freedoms that we have so awesome. And so that's my personal opinion, and I don't really care if anybody likes it or not. But anyway, that's like I said, the freedoms we enjoy. But now the NBA has come out and said that they have a specific league rule that will not let anybody, you know, kneel for the national anthem. They have to stand. There's apparently an actual league rule, and I saw the memo from the league that they would basically discipline players at their discretion at the league level, not the team level, if they took a knee. My question to you is, what do you think, after everything that's happened, now that this is such a political conversation, and now it's not a sports conversation anymore. It's a news conversation and a political conversation, where I think in the past couple of years with a few NFL players, it was more of a sports-related story. It didn't really bleed into any other outlets. That being said, do you think they will have players say, I don't care about the fines, I care about the stand? Do you think we'll see that? And I also want to get your thoughts on it as well, just in general.
I hate this topic.
I understand, but it's something that now is a sports topic, and I think we have to talk about it.
Right. I want to stick to sports, and this is sports. So I hate this topic. I hate that everybody's talking about it. I just wish the one there is one thing that I really wish about this protest, and I'm all that we you have the right to protest and do it however you would like, but let's take a stand for something or a knee for something that a specific purpose. I have no damn clue why these people are taking a knee, and some of them are doing it for these reasons, and some of them are doing it for these reasons, and it needs to be a unified front that these are the reasons that we're taking this knee. It is not to piss off, you know, like to veterans or to anything like that. That people have taken this so far because nobody knows what they're taking a knee for. They talk about it, and some of them go into it, but, I mean, Colin Kaepernick's the one who started it. He hasn't done an interview in God knows how long, and that's not his style, and that's fine, but it's let's – I wish everybody would get unified on this front and this say, hey, these are the reasons that we're taking a knee. This is exactly the reason we're doing it, not – we're taking a knee for the during the national anthem. Like I just think that it needs to be a unified front to know, like, yes, these are the reasons. I'm going to say it again. These are the reasons that we're doing this. And right now, I just think it's really wishy-washy. People don't know exactly what it is that they're taking a knee for, and some people just think that they're literally just crapping on America and the flag,
which is not the case at all.
Which is not. No, I'm not. I'm not agreeing.
I'm just saying.
I'm not agreeing with that side of. But I just wish it would, you know, that they would, you know, that it would be something where they're saying this is the reason that we're doing it.
I think I'll say I kind of agree with you to a point, and then I'll explain. I think that they've done a pretty good job of saying that, hey, this is about racial inequality and police brutality. I think they're also that some players, like you said, don't mention it enough. And the other side of it is that I also think that, yes, protests are protests for a reason. And what protests do is get people to start talking about having conversations. And so whether people like it or not, even if you hate the protest, guess what you're doing? You're talking about it. You're doing exactly what they want you to do. Now, the problem is, I think the conversation has shifted from why they're protesting into they hate America. And so I think that is unfortunate because it really waters down what conversation they're trying to start, which is about police brutality. And so that, I think, is the what the president has done and his comments have done towards the players, which is what it really incited people to do more of, has really watered down the conversation of what it really should be about. And instead of people having, you know, conversations about what the protest stands for, like you said, now you're having conversations about something completely different. And so I do think that there needs to be from protest need to go action. That's what, you know, that's usually what you need. You need protest into action or conversation into action. And so I think if this is a continual protest, you need to look at what is the next step. You know, what comes after, you know, protest and kneeling and start having those conversations or trying to have those conversations with your senators and congressmen and other people just in general. So I think that I'll agree with you kind of because I think that where it started and where it is now is different because of the way it's been politicized on numerous media outlets and Fox News and all kinds of different outlets that not necessarily may be your best source of information. And so that I think is unfortunate, but I think that, you know, people need to start having, you know, trying to get back into, like you said, what it is really about. What do they really, you know, what do we want to really change about our country? And so I think I'll leave it at that, and I think we'll move on, unless you have something else.
No, let's please move on.
And I was just – let me finally say this, though. The people who tell athletes to stick to sports and not have a mind other than sports, it's going to be a rough year for them. I can already – you know, that's already going to happen. But nonetheless, we'll move on. Let's talk Grizzlies. Let's talk Grizzlies. It's been a long time since we've talked Grizzlies together, over a week. On the podcast, anyway. I mean, we've done it off the podcast.
I keep wanting to say Grit Grind, but I guess I'm just going to have pace and space. Pace
and space, baby. So Marc Gasol did not play last night. He has a high ankle sprain. Apparently did it when he was playing for Spain. Played on it anyway. because that's Mark. He gets to be some kind of, I don't know, Superman for his country, which is great. But leaves, you know, apparently it was not really reported. I don't remember even seeing it really being reported the first time. I think I kind of remember, but I don't really. But now you look up and Marc Gasol was held out for precautionary reasons on the first preseason game, high ankle sprain. Do we make anything of this?
No. I definitely don't think we do. He played all summer for Spain. I mean, I'm down with him not playing in the preseason. I don't really care. He's very good at basketball.
And
we have a lot of people who need a lot of reps. So let's rep him.
And Marc Gasol ain't one of them.
Yeah. So I say we rep him.
So we spent our 3 minutes on the Marc Gasol injury. Let's next big piece of news. So Jamichael Green finally took our advice. He clearly listens to this podcast.
Clearly
listens to this podcast. Finally took our advice and signs for the Grizzlies 2 years, $17 million. This is a good deal for the Grizzlies. This is a good deal for Jamichael. I think, you know, you get Jamichael Grizz's 2 years, still gets to be back on the market when he's 30. Grizzlies is getting him a good number. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he still will be a restricted free agent next time around. So I have no problem with this at all. I think it's a win-win-win-win.
Yeah, I definitely think it's for the – all right. For the moment that we're in right now, for this 2017, 2018, 2019 Grizzlies team, yes, this was a good move in the situation that we're in right now. We're not like 2 years, $17 million. You know,
it's an easily movable contract too.
Movable contract. He is a piece. You know, he can play whether he can start in the playoffs against the Spurs.
Well, he clearly can't.
He clearly can't. But I mean, Jamichael has gotten better every single year he's been in the league.
Well, he has to get even better this year. This is the year where he has to take a giant, not I would say like a serious medium step forward. I mean, I know not a giant leap, but he has to have a serious like half a step, like a medium step, you know, like you have to have him contribute more. I mean, Zebo's points are gone, Tony's for whatever points he had are gone, but like you have to have him contribute more on the offensive end. You can't look up and be like, okay, well, you can't play in the postseason because we don't trust you. That can't happen.
It can't happen. We won't have that happen to us this year unless he takes that medium step. We won't be in the playoffs. So
you think he's that important to what we're doing?
Yeah. I mean, who the heck else is going to get a rebound on this team?
Chandler Parsons. Just kidding.
That was the only stat line that he would get like 4 rebounds in every game last year. He'd be like, oh, yeah, Chandler got the rebound. Yeah, there you go, Chandler.
Turnover.
Like, the one thing.
Turnover. I would have liked the Jamichael signed for 3 years, but I get it.
I'm fine with two. We need to. This team has so much going on right now that in 2 years. This team could be Marc Gasol, Mike Conley. You know, we could be without our two best players. You know, like it could happen.
It could happen. I don't think it's going to be surprised. It would. I think we would have to be in a very bad spot. I think that for like you know Mark to be. First of all, I think if we're in a very bad spot and looking into January this year and we're 10 games under 500, I think you start seriously considering offers from Mark. But beyond that, I think we'll have them. But like you said, it is a possibility. It is a very real possibility that Mark looks up in 2 years and says, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore. I got, you know, one contract left in the NBA and then I'm done. I definitely don't want to spend it on a really, really bad Grizzlies team. So that, you know, we'll see. But like you said, I think Jamichael, he's got to do something this year other than what he's done offensively. I think the other pieces to his game, I think his defense, you know, his defending is really good. He can defend
He guarded Kevin Durant.
Exactly. I mean, those pieces to his game are fine. But he's got to start, and he can shoot the three ball, but he doesn't take the shot. He's got a sharp pull on the trigger, and we've talked about this before. We've compared him to someone like Draymond Green, who is only like a 28% three-point shooter, but he takes the shot. He takes a shot, and so when he takes a shot, people have to at least step out a little bit and at least honor that even like a little bit. And so he's got to be that guy where if he has the ball on the three-point line, you know, teams have to come out and either close out on him even at all because they know he's going to take it. Because right now they're just like, well, you know, if he takes it, you know, they'll beat us. But 70% of the time he passes it to Marc Gasol instead of taking the shot. So,
yeah, Draymond's a career 32% three-point shooter.
Yeah, like I said, he's not very good at it, but he takes them, and that's the difference. All right. Troy Daniels also got traded to the Suns. So farewell, Troy Daniels. We will miss thee. I was a Troy Daniels truther. I was a fan, but I understand why.
You were the captain.
I think I may have been the captain.
You said it. You were the captain of the train. The conductor is what you were. Excuse me.
And now Troy Daniels is gone. He is gone for Troy Daniels and a second round pick is gone for a second round pick that is highly protected, like top 55 protection, so it will never actually convey. So we basically gave away Troy Daniels in a second round pick. If you can imagine that.
Yeah, I'm
I mean, I don't know if it. I don't think it matters long term. The only thing that really makes me mad about it is that you give it. You have to get, but you have a guy that you signed that didn't work out again, and then now you have to give up something just to get rid of the contract. And guess what? If you had been a little bit more, had more foresight in the summer when people build their rosters instead of during training camp, you would have to do this. If you didn't have 28 guys on the roster, it wouldn't matter.
Well,
and so now you have to move him because you have to make room for other guys.
We had to make room for JaMychal. We already had 20.
At the very least, you have to make room for JaMychal, and not including you know people like Mario Chalmers, who you think is probably going to make the roster. And so that's where I think I have a huge problem with it is that you have another misstep by the front office that we write off as they traded Troy Daniels in a second round pick and we got a second round pick back. But guess what? That second round pick you will never get. It is a top 55 protected pick. It will never convey, ever. Ever. So you don't think you got something in return. So now it is another blunder, another black eye on the front office, who if they had just had even a remote amount of foresight of what the hell they were doing in June instead of September, you could have avoided this easily. Because if you're shopping Troy Daniels in June, you might be able to get a actual second round pick back for him. I don't know, but this is just. I think this is bad all around for the Grizzlies. I don't think the trade I could care less about. I don't care if Troy Daniels is gone. It doesn't matter that much to the team. But I think the way it went down is just really, really crappy.
I've just come to expect it, Mark. Remember at the end of the last episode, we joked that we were just gonna like. Who did we say we were just going to cut like somebody that we just signed, you know, it was like, we might as well prepare for the worst.
Might as well, yeah, exactly.
So we didn't end up cutting anybody. We just ended up trading a player who is that the only piece anybody actually would give us a super protected second round pick for, do you think?
Is that
the only player on that we were willing to, you know, give up? Of course, young player that anybody even wanted was Phoenix. We were finally reached out to Phoenix, and they were like, "I mean, I guess Troy Daniels, and we'll give you like a super protected second round pick that you're probably not going to get, and we'll take a second round pick." And we were like. All right. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
Just expect the worst.
I don't know if he's the only player. I mean, I think you could have gotten – I think that you could have gotten other players on our team for other – I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't think that Troy Daniels was the only guy you could have gotten rid of, if that's what you're asking. I think that
– I think the only player that any team actually kind of was like, we'll take a flyer on this guy. I mean, what are you going to do? You've watched Jarrell Martin be awful. You've watched Andrew Harrison for a whole damn season be awful. You know, it's like, I don't want those two guys. Who else you got? You know, like.
All right. So just this is from my good buddy on Twitter, Keith from Fast Break Breakfast. Is also a really good podcast. It's at Fast Break Break on Twitter. But so he tweeted this, and I had to look it up. That's what I was doing when asking. I wasn't listening to your question. I was looking this up. So Grizzlies traded the Clippers 19 first, the Brooklyn 19 second, two 2018 seconds, and Troy Daniels for Deontay Davis, Rod Gorak, Ivan Rabb, Dylan Brooks, and a fake second-round pick.
Yeah,
just to recap, a first-round pick and Brooklyn's second-round pick. So basically, first-round pick and three seconds for Troy Daniels. Excuse me. Let me rephrase that again. Oh, my gosh.
Hold on one more time.
A first-round pick, three second-round picks, Troy Daniels for Deontay Davis, Rade, Ivan Rabb, and Dylan Brooks.
I know that we
haven't
started.
We know that Ivan Rabb isn't very – or Rade isn't very good at all.
I was going to say, I know that we're going to talk about the game last night. I was driving, and you were watching while we were in the car, so you saw quite a bit of it, more of it than I did. But what I saw of Rade was that we might as well just go ahead and ship his ass back to Europe because he ain't ever getting on an NBA court.
And then Deontay Davis.
He had a solid 7 rebounds last night.
But it's over 6. I mean, look forget about what, like, I mean, Deontay Davis couldn't even get buckets in the summer league. I mean, he didn't even want to shoot the ball against straight-up scrubs. You think Deontay Davis is going to go out to shoot the ball against Vujicic or Dwight Howard? No, absolutely not. And this is trash. To give away that much future – I guess it doesn't matter because the Grizzlies don't draft well anyway, right?
Yeah, we always say, like, yeah, let's look for offers for Mark, and then it's like, well, but then who are we going to take
If we trade away Mark, we have to get players for him. We can't get draft picks because the Grizzlies don't know how to draft. I'm fully worked up now. I'm in a
you
mood.
You got a lather going?
I got a lather going over my I wasn't mad until I remember why I was mad about Troy Daniels. It's been a week. So I had this huge Twitter rant out about this Troy Daniels things, and now I remember why I was calling you like, we need a pod right now because I got to get this out. So last thing, or a couple things, media day happened. I don't know if we really even need to talk about this, but it did happen. Some things were said, some things weren't said. I think probably the most notable thing that came out was Fizdale, again, going back to the protest, Fizdale said he would take a knee with his players if they decided to do that. But, you know, we have a lot of players.
Would he take a knee with, like, an individual or the whole team?
I don't know. That wasn't – I'm not sure if that was qualified, but I think it was more of a team thing. I'm not sure if he would – I wouldn't put a pass on to join an individual like Mike Conley if that's what they wanted to do. Several guys, including Mike Conley, Parsons, said that the unknown was the most excited about this team.
I don't like that.
However excited Mike Conley is about the unknown, I'm equally as scared.
Well, you know, it's kind of like a lot of it's unknown because we're just now trying to figure our roster out.
Well, it's unknown, because Fizdale doesn't even know who's going to be on his roster in the first game. He doesn't even know, like, who he's really going to play. That's the problem.
Well, we at least got to watch Mario last night. That got
so
me
let's,
really.
Let's
not.
Let,
no, I'm just. No, I'm talking about happy things right now. I got to watch Mario Chalmers last night, and I was very, very happy. And was really scared that he wasn't going to be back. And so I know I just broke off topic, but I wanted to get some happiness into our life. I see you sweating over there, and I just want to get you feeling back with good.
So let's do that. Let's just talk. Let's. Okay. I really don't even care that much to talk about media day. It's like so long. It's like a week ago. I think everybody's already talked about it. And I don't think we need to do anything else. But so let's talk about preseason. We had the game last night. Grizzlies won against the Magic, and it was in FedEx Forum. Hardly anybody were there. We weren't. Definitely weren't there. But 92-84 was the final. So let's continue on your Mario Chalmers, what you were talking about earlier, because Mario Chalmers looked awesome. I mean, I know that it's preseason, but we're about to seriously have an overreaction to a preseason game, and that's okay because I'm ready for it. Because guess what? Mario Chalmers, best player in the NBA, easily. I mean, it's good to have him back. I mean, it made me feel that much more comfortable knowing, like, okay, we have a backup point guard, I think, that can legitimately still play. Because we all know when he was coming off the bench for Mike, I loved it. I mean, the offense didn't really stall. It was great. He can get buckets. He's really good. And so if he's back to where he was, which he looked like it last night. I mean, let me look at his stat line. What, 19 points? Is that what it was? Let's see. Mario Chalmers last night was 20 minutes, 7 from 10 from the field, in 19 points, 2 assists, and a rebound. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, like I kind of said earlier, you got to see quite a bit more of it than I did, but from I saw some scoop and scores, and I saw him miss a couple threes, miss a corner three, but you know, the last picture I saw of him, he was not looking like he could play basketball at an NBA level. And I know last night we were playing the Orlando Magic, and they don't have all that many players that play at that said NBA level. But
right.
I was very happy with what I saw last night, and the Grizzlies' backup point guard situation is maybe in the same place it was a couple years ago before Mario.
It's not so big of a question mark now. I think, and like I said, I don't think you can take away so much stuff from preseason, but I think you can learn a lot just from how the players move. Shots are going to continue to get better and as they get more of a rhythm in game action. So I just thought, like I said, just from him, like the way he moves, his speed was there, that kind of his first step when he goes by defenders. And so that's kind of the things that you lose when you have an Achilles injury like that, and some people really never regain. But to me, like, just from the eye test, I don't know exactly how fast he was or whatever 2 years ago, but, like, just from the eye test, I thought he looked good. Quite opposite, what I thought was really strange is how long it took Andrew Harrison to get into the game. I mean, he didn't even enter the game until the fourth quarter. Like, when the scrubs entered the game, like, that's when he got in the game. I don't know. What do you think? Do we make anything of that? I mean, I know.
Mark, we've known for 3 years this guy's a scrub.
I know he's trash, but I mean, so is Wade Baldwin. But Wade Baldwin played 20 minutes.
But Wade Baldwin is a first round.
Andrew Harrison. Harrison is better than Wade Baldwin.
But they think that there's no upside with Andrew Harrison. We know exactly what Andrew Harrison is today. That's what he's going to be tomorrow. That's going to what he's probably going to be next year. It's probably what he's going to be the year after that. Wade Baldwin has upside, you know, he has the size, speed. People tell me he has other things, but I haven't been able to see them yet. I've watched every minute he's ever played on a Grizzlies basketball court.
Wade Baldwin is good at speed and athleticism, but I'm afraid that doesn't translate to the NBA. So, I mean, Wade Baldwin played 20 minutes, was 3 from 9. He had 6 rebounds, which is great. And 8 points. I mean, like, he's just not good. And he still looks like a D-League player. And that's unfortunate because he shouldn't look like a D-League player anymore.
Still looks like he has no idea how to run an offense.
He looks very confused. He does. He looks very confused about what he's supposed to do. And it makes no sense to me how this is. And I don't know. I'm not sure if the Grizz. I know the Grizzlies aren't good at developing players, but I'm not sure if he is the, like, we can't develop him type of guy, or he just sucks type of guy, or both.
I think a lot of it. I have no idea. I've literally never met this kid, but what I think, but from watching him and from. I follow him on Instagram, and I follow him on Snapchat. Like, every – so my little bit of, dive into this kid's life. Like, I think he thinks he's Russell Westbrook. Like, he gets the ball in his hand, and it's freaking game over. Right. And he's not. There is – I have seen two people move like Russell Westbrook in my life, and that was Derrick Rose before he tore three knees up, and Russell Westbrook. Those are the only people I've ever seen move like that in my life. And I think he thinks he's that super ultra athletic point guard. I don't have to run an offense because I'm going to break your defense down, take it to the goal. And I ain't seen any of it.
Well, I mean, he is super speedy and super athletic, but he doesn't have the handles to go along with it. And that, I think, is therein lies the problem with Wade Baldwin. Now, I don't know why he played 20 minutes and why Andrew Harrison played 20 minutes. I did a live recap for Grizzly Bear Blues Facebook Live last night, so that's on the Facebook page. You can go check out kind of my first reaction to the game. But like I said this last night, I don't know. Maybe he knows. Like Fizdale knows what he's got, and Andrew Harrison, like you said, he kind of knows where.
Yeah, to play him 30 minutes, he played more minutes than anybody last year. He had to have.
So you kind of know what we have with Andrew Harrison, and you kind of want to roll out Wade Baldwin on 20 minutes, and that's why he only played 12 minutes? I'm not sure. I mean, it's very, very real possibility. Or he just thinks, you know what, it's time to move on. I want to see what I got in Wade Baldwin. I know I have Mario Chalmers, and Andrew Harrison is probably might be on the outside looking in. So that I think we'll get more info on that, I think, as we see how Game 2 kind of shakes out. Somebody we've been trashing for this is episode 7, right? So this is still in our infancy in this podcast, but for 6 episodes we've been trashing Jarrell Martin because we think he's not very good at basketball. And then he goes out and gets 22 minutes, 7 for 8, 16 points with 4 rebounds. He's a plus 9. Jarrell Martin, he's been listening to our podcast.
Dude, I told you this earlier. Jarrell Martin and Jermichael Green both listen to this podcast.
They get their NBA news from the 3&D podcast.
And if you're not, that's your own fault.
It is your own fault.
And
that's where you went wrong in life.
Yeah. So Jarrell, I believe every single episode we've had, I've said he is the most athletic guy on the Grizzlies team and struggles to play basketball.
We also have said that he would be the first one to get cut.
We've also said that he's going to be the first one to get cut. So it's so obvious that he's just been listening to this podcast and been like, you know what? F you, Mark King. Mark _ producer, whatever your Twitter name is. F you, Joseph Walter, J.R. Walter 4. I don't need you. I'm going to show you what's up. So Jarrell, guess what, bro? Stop sucking. I think if I just keep telling you how bad you are, that you're just going to keep getting better. So I want to like applaud you right now, but I'm not going to.
No.
Jarrell, I'm going to need you to step your game up. 7 for 8, only plus 9. I'm looking Dylan Brooks was plus 13. Like, come on. That's a rookie. You got beaten plus minus by a rookie.
If you think this is good, Jarrell Martin, you're still trash. Go out and get buckets.
Go out and get buckets.
All right. I want to just get on Dylan Brooks real quick, and then I think we're going to probably be done with this recap. But you mentioned Dylan Brooks, plus 13. I like Dylan Brooks. I think maybe, like we talked about, I think I maybe like him irrationally. I think I like the idea of Dylan Brooks more than actual how good Dylan Brooks may be. But I think he's got true upside. However, he looked like a lost puppy on defense last night. He did not know when to switch. He did not know when to be on it. Like, he looked like he had never played defense before. It was kind of crazy. I mean, I know it was his first real game against real NBA players, but, like, he did not look good on defense at all. I mean, granted, the whole team defense was atrocious. I mean, they had really bad communication. They didn't know when they were switching. Again, that's a lot of young guys, a lot of new guys. That's probably totally fair in the first preseason game.
Big man.
But Dylan Brooks looked like he'd never played defense before, and it was, like, very apparent. Like, if you don't even know what you're looking for, Dylan Brooks was, like, running around, and, like, there were some – I mean, like I said, you were driving last night. Dylan Brooks was running around in places and didn't know where he was going. But hopefully – We'll see how that works out in the next game. Which is when is the next game for the Grizzlies? Let's check this out. I think that's probably it for our Grizzlies news, unless you got anything else that you want to add. But
well, the only thing that just kind of to touch on what you were talking about, I think it's a whole nother podcast is the issue, because when is college basketball going to change to where they actually play the same game of it? I mean, it's literally a completely different game.
Oh,
completely different ball game. Syracuse has a 7-foot-tall dude from Africa that stands under the basketball goal with his hands up in the air every single possession. Yeah. And it's so frustrating and annoying to watch, but let's keep moving.
Yeah. Next game's October 4th, 7 o'clock. We'll probably do another podcast later on this week, so we'll talk about that then. For now, let's get to the funniest thing we've heard this week. And you sent this to me, and it is the funniest thing. It was actually last week's, but this we're gonna say it this week because that's how funny this is. And I believe this is Beasley. Is that right? Went on Sports New York or whatever this show is, and I don't know, have any idea what he is talking about at all. And so I want to just play this real quick. Let's listen to this. Hold on. Let me get this going. All right. Come on, Instagram.
Good radio. Capable of using 10% of our brain, right?
Yes.
You believe that?
No, that's.
Did you about to say it's true?
I'm saying that's what people say. That is the consensus scientifically.
So it's the consensus scientifically. So who was the guy that used 11 that made it okay to say everybody just using 10?
That isn't the right logic.
No.
The 10% of your brain is the one that said 10%.
No, because if you're only using 10% of your brain, you don't even know that you're using 10% of your brain.
Like, you knew it was 10% of your brain based on your brain. You don't have to be using 11% to know someone else's 10%. He's saying, I'm 10%, you're 10%. Like, everyone's 10%. That is not mathematically correct.
That is not. Like, someone had
to. But you have to have been using more than 10% of your brain to know that everyone else uses 10%.
Yes, because if you're only using 10% of something, that means you don't know the rest of the 90%. We are only capable of.
That is the funniest thing we've heard all week, and that might be the funniest thing I've heard all month.
If
I've listened to it 10 times and still can't understand what he's talking about.
If Adam Silver didn't send some dude directly to his house to pee in a cup, then
if you ever wonder how high is too high, that's it right there. I promise you that's it. So, oh man, that was a great episode though.
Can we? There's one thing else I wanted to talk about. Another one
before
of
these
things. We don't have to play it, but if you haven't seen Carmelo laugh at that guy,
man,
who asked him if he's going to come off the bench,
we'll save that for the
really
next.
Entertaining.
We'll save that
so
for the next podcast.
Out.
We'll save that for next. It is hilarious. We'll play that next podcast. Melo laughing at this reporter, which by the way was a really dumb question anyway. But that's that's neither here nor there.
I think I'm coming off the bench.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe on iTunes. Please leave a review. It really
Five
helps
stars
us out.
Only.
5 stars only, or we'll find a way to delete it. We don't care. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm @King_producer.
I am @JRWalter4.
Come talk to us. Have a conversation with us about basketball. And we will see you guys next week.